I don't got anything to add. I'll shut up.
We're back. The Fat Boys. The actual Fat Boys. We're with the OG Fat Boy down below.
My man.
I love how he doesn't get offended. Like, the best part is he doesn't get offended by it. That's like, that's no. He accepts it and he's like, yeah, that was me.
That was because he worked his ass off to not be a fat boy. We just forced him back into the fat boy life.
Well, I guess I'm going the polar opposite direction. So I'm getting shredded boy life. I just so happened to drop another 2 pounds over. I just so happened over the last week drop approximately 5-6 pounds.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
I'm feeling it. My strength's still going up though. It's going up a lot slower now. My things, but leg day went great yesterday. So we did something yesterday. So we used we did pulls with we used a 45-pound plate as a block. So we did block pulls instead of full on stiff legs. We did block pulls, and I pulled 315 for 7 reps.
Nice.
The last week we did it without the block. I did 2 plates plus 35 for 7 reps.
Just do that for like a little bit less lumbar and erectors, or
we're pulling conventional on our posterior day, so it's just like,
oh, that makes sense.
We're getting slammed left and right, and I was like, you know what? As I was talking with Brandon, I was like, you know, I'm gonna make this decision for us without even consulting Mark. I was like, I know that I'm going to continue to lose weight. And if I continue to lose weight, there's going to be a point where I'm not going to be able to recover from two, especially if I touch the ground on a stiff leg. There's no way my lower back is going to recover in time for that. Cause I'm struggling to actually start to progress with my deadlift, which also aided in the decision. So I was just like, you know what, to prevent any fatigue in any of the future cases, I can't do as many force reps anymore, and I can't do as many, and I can't be touching the ground on my barbell stiff leg.
I couldn't pull fucking from the floor twice a week. I can barely pull from the floor once a week.
Me too. I can't. If I pull from the floor twice a week, I'm absolutely fucked.
I'd actually be hurt within about 3 weeks. I'd be like actually hurt where I'd have to take like a month off training.
Well, I did get hurt that one time. But that's because we misloaded the bar and we used a squat bar to deadlift. So don't do that. Don't ever do that if anybody's listening. Bad advice. Don't ever deadlift with a squat bar. No, but I touched the 170s today, which is muy bueno. I'll take it after a high day. So I'm feeling good. I just added another client today, which is nice.
Yeah, that's right. You said you had a call. Right on.
I got another client inquiry call this week. So hopefully adding another person to the roster, which would be freaking fantastic. I'm excited to get to work on some new plans, which I haven't had to do in quite a bit. So to be able to work on some new plans, it's great. Got a few clients looking absolutely phenomenal. I showed you guys my one guy. I showed you his recent pictures, at least from yesterday. And he's looking absolutely wild for 191 and being natural. So I'm pretty happy with where he's at. And overall, outside the first like half the week, it's been joyous. So
good. I love it.
I got over my hump. So
I love it.
Yeah.
What'd you get up to yesterday?
No. I did go out and no, I can't say, bro. I went out and had some fun.
That's fair. I just had to throw a wrench in the old in the clutch there.
Yeah, you're like, yeah, let's you fucked yourself. Yeah, you tried to clutch it. You stalled the car. No, I went out with a friend and got some food, had a nice little steak dinner. I haven't actually gone out in a while. So I tried to plan it within my macros, but I think I'm pretty set with how I can go about things a little bit, even while I'm dieting. So it's kind of great to just have one meal. I can't tell you the last time I actually took anything off. I don't particularly like to. So even when I was doing like Five Guys, like as free meals, like back when I was Italian meatball status, like 200 pounds, did not did not want to do those meals sometimes. So it's just, you know, I particularly like to keep my meals clean. I kept a clean steak, veggie, and potato. Typical meal that I tell my own clients to get when they go out, right? Yeah. We probably tell all of them they're going to go do a free meal. Get steak, no butter, no oil. Everything on the side.
That's actually a big one. And I only know this from managing in the restaurant industry when I was younger. Before that, I didn't know this, but when you order a steak, the first thing they do on the grill is slap a large-ass dollop of butter on it. I had no idea. But I tell every one of my clients now, you're ordering a steak at a restaurant, you ask for no butter.
Sometimes they even, like restaurants that do prep work, they even pre-butter the steaks.
Oh, yeah.
Stock them in Tupperwares and put them in the fridge, and they kind of, it would be really good like that. It would make sense because the butter would have time to kind of saturate.
100%. Or they just marinate them, and like you said, in like a butter bath or oil bath of some sort. Yeah, it's.
But I did, but I was getting out of the parking garage, and they took my ticket, so I put the ticket in, and then I went to pay, and I put my card in, and then it just shot my card out, and it rejected my payment. So I was like sitting there for a whole 10 minutes waiting for someone to like answer the assistance thing. I tried to pay, and I'm like, is there a cancel button? I'm like, no, dude, the thing ate my ticket, and I can't give it like my card. And he's like, oh, well, you seem like you tried to pay, so I'm just gonna let you free. So I saved like $12.50 by their own machine just eating my.
I mean, you waited 10 minutes, so I would hope so. I would have my steering wheel would have got it beat down if that was the case.
Well, it spit out my car, and my car actually. My card went underneath my car when it came. So I had to like back up and then my card and then drive forward again. And then it was such a conundrum.
It's instances like those that I just wish I had bull bars on my truck. And I would just like, yeah, see you later to those gates that come down.
Yeah. So I was very flustered at the end of the night. And I was like, what the fuck? But I mean, it's been a great day, you know, just doing client check-ins, just going along. Like I said, signed a client today. So it's good to have them. They're also a coach too. So it's gonna be pretty cool because they understand the standards, which is nice. So my week's been, you know, the beginning of the week and the end of last week was really rough. Got over that. We'll discuss that today, not in full detail, but we'll discuss a lesson learned in that. But I'm really happy with how the week went, how I look now. I think I dropped a lot of stress weight actually probably this week. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah. So,
okay. You know what, that could have also been, and we didn't really mention that could have been a factor that contributed to your drop this morning was the fact you just went out and had a good night.
Yeah, because all I do is
all I do. Yeah, the value to that is huge, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think that is a big thing. And I think a lot of people don't take that into account is we're always working. So it's like, I didn't touch my phone. That was the least amount of time I've been on my phone for the last like year and a half. Like I'm always on my phone, always talking with someone on Instagram, always doing something, but to actually have like just like a face-to-face interaction, not be on my phone for like a whole hour and a half, like two hours was really freaking peace. And just plugging in my music on the way home, it's just absolute beauty. Driving down, listening to some Pink Floyd, just cruising on the highway.
I like it.
All right, how was your week, boss man, big man?
Which one?
Not the big one.
my week was really good, man. Same thing. We added some athletes. I got added six new athletes to the roster this week. So that was that kept me very busy. On top of a couple.
That's a lot.
Pressing things. Yeah, it was. It was a big week. Two of them were previous athletes that I worked with, and I was excited to get going with again. I worked with them last year. Both of them competed, did very, very well. Won shows with them both, and then one of them just needed a little bit of a break. I think we might have touched on this last week because they had reached out to me, but this week was when they actually. We got them set up and so forth. And so, yeah, we did that. I got his plan sent out to a new pro athlete that I brought on, a bodybuilder who's insane how good he is, and he's natural. So I'm really, really excited. And at some point, we did have a conversation at some point after he does a few pro shows as a natural, I think he wants to go to the dark side. So the potential there is, has me drooling at the mouth. But he already looks crazy for natural, so that's pretty cool. Yeah, and outside of that, it was just busy, man, doing the damn thing. You know how it is. Got back in the gym, so that was a really good one for me. Started feeling better. So Wednesday had our first session and had some fun with it. And then I was back in there today for my fourth session. I rested yesterday, and yeah, it was good. Or wait, was yesterday rest? I don't even remember at this point. Yeah, it was.
I mean, you started with a new coach too.
What's that?
Sorry, did you mention this last week? I think you might have mentioned it, but maybe we didn't.
Maybe. What's that?
You started with a new coach.
Oh, yeah. So I actually had started with Cam. I got started with him before I was sick, but started working with Cam. And this was my first week actually under him training. I like it too, because Cam, we have very similar stuff. So like even when I started my diet up, it was basically the same diet I had. He just made some small tweaks to it. Full training plan was rolled out this week, which is awesome. I'm really excited for it. I'm back in the leg training zone. So going from training quads once every 16 days, really, and legs once every 8 days kind of thing, to training both quads and hams twice a week, or one, basically two leg sessions that split between both. So I'm excited for it, man. We'll see what happens here. I took another round of check-in pictures this morning, and my weight's still down from being sick. It's 207.6, but it'll trend back up. I'm not concerned. And Cam did up my food today, 3% or so. So a little more food in the diet for me, and see how that works this week and go from there. I took my check-in pictures this morning outside. And let me tell you, at 6 a.m. outside right now, it's quite damn cold. And my little bodybuilding trunks were, we were a bit inverted, I'll say that. but yeah, it was a good week, man. Overall, I went and looked at a couple properties too for some stuff we might have in the works here. So no complaints on my end. Having fun, doing the damn thing.
Oh, how's the new equipment?
Really good, man. Really happy with it. There's the cables need to be broken in, you know, like new cables. Sometimes they feel a little heavier. So yeah. So just as we go through it, it'll feel a little bit better, but the cables are still really, really good. Like they, so this is the funniest part of it. I don't know if I mentioned this in our past podcast, but got it all put together and stuff. And once I started training on it, the stacks that I got, you could choose like the actual weight the stack goes to, and you could choose like a 4-to-1 or 2-to-1 ratio. So I chose the 2-to-1 and I chose the heavy stacks, thinking that I was going to get strong enough. Dude, like, I don't care how strong I get. I don't know if I know a single person that would be able to do an exercise with the full stack. And I mean that. The 350-pound stack is literally like the heaviest thing I've ever felt in my life. I could hang from it and bounce and swing and it wouldn't move.
Oh, really?
30 pounds. So like it smacks your ego hard, because I go to do like bicep curls and I'm on the first notch, like the first pin set, which I'm like, at the same time, I obviously have my wife that lives with me, and like she uses the gym once in a while, and I'm said to her, I'm like, well, you cannot really do any like arm exercises on this thing. Like zero. There, you won't even be able to move the lightest weight. But no, I'm excited for it, man. I'm gonna use the leg press and the leg extension and hamstring curl there next week. So that'll be fun. Put those two pieces to use. I've only used the squat rack with the cable system so far. We haven't actually used the other pieces. So I'm excited to put those guys into the mix and have some fun with it. It also allows me to not have to drive 80 minutes to the gym once I have those things. So saving myself some driving time this upcoming week, which is nice.
Is your leg extension plate loaded?
Yeah, so it's the prime leg extension line curl combo, and it is plate loaded with the
You're gonna love it. We have at least just the regular leg extension at our gym, and we would always do like stupid, like we'd load the bottom really. We load like
mechanical drop sets.
Yeah, so we load the bottom peg really freaking heavy. So it'd just be like we put like 5 plates on the bottom. And you're just able to power up through, and you'll just get a really strong shortening contraction there. And it's just so brutal. And you're like, oh, this bottom feels great. And then you get to the top and you're like, oh fuck. And you're like,
yeah,
trying to contract your quad. You're like, that's not happening, chief.
And then you change them all to the top position.
We never actually done that. We never done a mechanical drop set. So I've always,
oh dude, those mechanical drop sets and that prime pieces. Cause I've actually used them. I used them at Pure Muscle in Ontario. the leg extension and the lion curl. And that's exactly what I did on them, was mechanical drop sets, just shifting the plates from lengthened to mid to short. And it was like brutal. And I did it both ways, actually. The other sessions I went from short to mid to long, and it would, they just suck.
Yeah, we're getting, you see these delts?
No. Looking good. Tarps are coming off on the podcast today.
Dude, it's like a million fucking degrees. It decided to be a million degrees in my apartment right now. And I'm like,
oh, it's hot.
All right, Dylan.
All right, Dylan, you're up, my man. How was your week, buddy?
It's pretty good. I got a couple new athletes also. Some pretty fun ones too that I think, ex-competitor. And then I got a girl who wants to compete, but she's really young and doesn't have any experience. I think I sent her to you, Anthony, actually.
Yes.
She's got some real cool potential. So it's going to be fun working with her, I think. And what else happened this week? Not too much, just working. My system kind of upgrades all got done. So I've been really a lot less stressed with that. So that's really nice. One thing you just said that's really interested me, Brayden, is, okay, because sometimes I watch people doing exercises on those prime things and I pay attention to everything. So like I'd see like Kuba doing delts, using like one plate for on that thing for Y raises. And then like some other people, this pattern started to show up. And I was like, okay, either that thing is really heavy because I've never used a prodigy rack, or progressive overload doesn't matter that much because like none of these guys are using any weight. And then it would have to be thinking like, well, sometimes I'm using the same weight like as them on that exact piece. Like, am I doing it wrong or something, you know? But now that you make sense, I didn't realize you can also change it from 4 to 1.
The two to one is technically heavier, right? Because there's less actual pulleys. Mm-hmm. So it basically, the weight is extremely heavy versus a 4 to 1. Yeah, which was my thought pattern. That's why I was like, well, no, if the stack's going to be the same weight and I can have double the pulleys and half the weight, or half the pulleys and double the weight, I'm obviously going to choose half the pulleys and get more weight out of it because I'm going to get very strong and max this thing out. Yeah, no, that ain't happening ever in my entire life. There is no way in hell.
Humbled real quick.
Well, like, man, because I have those. I also have those prime attachments that you can put on the end of a barbell and you can hook it up to the cables. Those I bought a long time ago. I've never used them. I don't even know why I bought them. But I can do a 700 pound deadlift on a cable deadlift. I just want to see somebody do it.
That tension is fucking crazy.
We could get my client Travis to come to your house.
Yes. I want to see Travis go to work on this thing.
He can pull that for sure.
So he's so everything was good for everyone.
Yeah, it was a good week, man.
This is a really good
Dylan one. I actually had some fun last night. We hopped on a call and just had a little bit of cannabis in our systems, and we're doing a little bit of work, and it was a blast.
It was fun to working on a project. I think that project's gonna turn out real nice. Do some after this too.
Really excited for it.
I'm excited. I don't get it, but I'm excited for it. I'm excited
for it. Me and Brayden have been curious about what this podcast is even going to be about.
What is this podcast about? Let us know, man. We're just here for the ride.
I'm in the suspenseful zone now.
So Dylan wrote something. So there's some context to this I won't put out in public because there's no reason for it to be out in public, at least in my opinion.
No, for sure.
And Dylan writes one big thing. And he writes, you know, a lot of the times and at certain times in life, you're going to find out we don't always get what we want and get what we need. And that was one thing I remembered from that whole part that Dylan actually wrote. And I did some reflecting and it didn't really hit me until like yesterday, that understanding what that kind of meant. And I kind of looked back on it and I realized this week, I've been so connected to every single one of my athletes, like every single one of them. Like it's been crazy. And I think what happened was the thing that I needed. And I think there was some rightness in what he may have been saying in this person into who, what they said. And I always take things in salt and how I go about things. And you do get lost in things, right? And we always want, We want success. We want success. We want success. But what do you need right now? What is it that you actually need? Like, everyone wants the success, right? And I was thinking about it every single time I was talking to you guys, every single time I sent their check-ins to you guys, I was like, fuck, man, he's going to be fucking awesome. Right. And it was just like, and then just got hit with the derailed the train pretty hard. And then, but I think I got what I needed. And as much as I want, you know, to put people on stage and put people and doing things how I want it, whatever I want, right? And how I want to grow Symbiotic Strength, it might not be what Symbiotic Strength needs as right now. Because, you know, this week turned out pretty well. I might have lost one client, but I'm about to gain two. So it's like, that's a lot of big difference. And like I said, I think connecting more with my athletes now, I had a serious talk with them, every single one of my athletes this week, in terms of something, in terms of where we're at together, where we're at in our relationship together, with each single one. I kind of described my vision over where they wanted to go. And a lot of times we've just been aligned, like, just perfectly. So it's pretty cool to see that from my athletes that are sticking with me, and that they really appreciate the work that I do. I made a big post. That post went absolutely bonkers. I think I got like 300 shares on that post now, but I think I did some reflecting, and I think that was the biggest impact thing that Dylan said throughout the whole week and the whole situation was.
It's a good lesson, because, and I kind of remember writing that now, and I know why I wrote it too, and it doesn't need to be shared, like you said, but I remember us talking specifically about competitors, because we can talk about that, and talking about how, it's because it sort of felt like you underwent a lot of negative emotion, because it was a step backwards from where your vision was headed. So that's, of course, going to make you feel negative emotion, because the map is now going the wrong way. How did it get turned around from north to south so quick? But sometimes that can give you a perspective shift, because then you're looking the other way. So then it's like, oh, I might have missed this other thing over here, and you said, like, I want to be able to, put people on stage. And the thing is, man, I've been coaching for a long time, and like, I haven't put, like, I think I've done like 17 contest preps, or 14 maybe, and like, I've been doing this for, I've been coaching for like 6 or 7 years. Like, I really wanted to do it longer than that, but I'm just barely getting recognized as being able to even competently do that. And still not near as much as I would like, but I'm working on it, So like, there's just more work to do. Cause I remember writing that at the end of that. It's like, there's nothing wrong with you. There's just more work to do. Yeah.
Well, and like, I think we spoke to this too, is okay, this particular situation felt like a step back, but no matter what, even if you got to that end goal, and as you continued down that path, there's always going to be other situations that feel the same way in terms of a step back, right? Like, what if your second athlete you put on stage gets third callouts? How does that make you feel? Because now you're riding the emotion of, I'm a contest prep coach and I'm putting bodybuilders on stage, but then you put somebody on stage and they don't do well. And now your self-doubt creeps in and you're like, am I a bodybuilding coach? Right. And am I a contest prep coach? And there's always going to be something there. So like Dylan said, I think flipping the perspective, and in this case, looking back and in using Dylan's perfect analogy, going from north to south and now looking south and saying, okay, well, what can we do here to get pointed back north? The same idea would apply in the future situations, right? Okay, well, maybe your athlete didn't do as well as you've been. And I've put a lot of people on stage and I've had that happen to me. We're not perfect. None of us are perfect coaches. None of us nail peaks every time. There's shit that happens. And you look back and it's like, okay, well, I am a contest prep coach. I am a good coach, but where could I have improved on this aspect? Where can I improve? So in the future, this continues to lead me to where I want to go. Right. So
that's a healthy growth mindset.
Yeah.
Versus 100%. The scarcity mindset.
Yeah.
And I struggle with this. I'm not speaking from moral high ground. I have some, like, I do too many protectionist things still, so that I don't lose clients, probably. You know, it's like and because I think I should just be a little more fearless in knowing what I have to offer, but it's hard, right? Because we've all worked hard to get to where we are prospectively, and it's all valuable and meaningful to us. So it's, I look at it kind of like a good thing that I want to protect it. And I just try and manage those emotions and feelings better as I get older and keep learning new shit.
For sure. Well, I'm the same way too. And like, we've had many conversations, you and I, Dylan, about this. And I know I've had some with you too, Anthony, in terms of like myself, where I want to shape, where I'm shaping my roster to and what I want to see. But then I still find myself these protectionary mechanisms you're talking about, putting these in place because of, I have that mindset. Okay, there's going to might be some scarcity if I push these people away from me because they're not the people that I ideally want to be working with at this point in my coaching career. But there's always those thoughts in the back of your head, like, well, what happens if I push these people away and all of a sudden I'm not successful on this path? And then I'm begging that I have those people come back and I, these type of individuals, right? And like, not to put people in boxes, but I mean, when you're a coach, you do have to kind of sort of have a niche, right? And have a direction that you want to get to, or to go back to other conversations we have a meaning. And I know what I want my meaning to be.
So you already established it. So like, it's, you know, for you, it's like, and you know, I can just speak for you, I think, on this, but it's, you're not really looking to help someone that's like never trained, never seen a gym. You know, they need some nutritional habits and stuff like that. You're 100%. Not really looking to work with those types of people. And I don't think there's anything wrong with saying that. It's not that you don't want help for those people. There's tons of qualified trainers to help those people.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
you know, you're building a vision for what you want to do, and that creates the meaning, which means you'll actually care about your clients, you know? So that's a better way to do it for everybody.
Client. And that's why we have the ability to outsource, right? So like, somebody applies with me, I'm never going to say to them, sorry, I can't help you. But we built a team around us where I can say to somebody, hey, unfortunately, this my roster is full at the moment for the type of XYZ athlete, but we have the opportunity to still help you. And I have this coach. I think this coach would be a great fit. Let's do it. Or we have other people. We have Anthony, right? Like, we have outsource clients. There's lots of people we can outsource to. And I think that's, I don't want to get off topic here, but that's an area that's missing in the industry, I think, that people think they wear every hat all the time and they fit every athlete all the time in every situation. And it's like, there's going to be athletes you're just not a fit for, or there's going to be cases you're not designed to like, problems you're not equipped to solve. That's okay. That's so okay. Find somebody who can. And if you know somebody who can, pass that off, because by doing that, you're helping somebody. You are 100% helping somebody by pointing them in the right direction. And you could be the factor that changed their life. You are step A, and yes, there's a lot of steps between Z, but you were step A.
Yeah, that's a good point, you know.
Yeah, and I think that's where, you know, I think that's why I had a serious conversation with everyone this week in terms of things, just because I wanted to nail down and make sure, like, hey, we're aligned.
Right? Yeah.
Because I know what that thing just did when we started to become what felt like aligned was not aligned.
Yeah.
Right? And so now I need to find people that are coming to me because they are aligned to what I'm doing.
100%.
Aligned to what I want to create with Symbiotic Strength, because that's going to take, like, all the people I have now, people who have been with me for like a year now, like most of them have been with, like a good amount of them have been with me for a year now. It's like, these people understand. And it's like, we're there. Like, we're together. And if there's a point in time where I'm like, hey, you know, I personally don't think I can take you any further, there's going to become a point in that. There always is, right? Our goal isn't to coach coach the person for the rest of their life. Like, of course, like, for most lifestyle people, we want to teach them what they can do, get them a good transformation for like one, maybe 2 years, and then allow them to go and do their own thing, right? And be able to navigate through those phases. Right. And there's going to be a point when even if there's a challenge with a client, there might be a point, like you said, where, hey, you know, you took them as far as you could possibly go.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people don't understand. And I think this is where the scarcity thing comes in that Dylan was talking about, is they try to like overpromise things by that to keep that client. When
overpromise, under deliver, man. It's
exactly very, very real. Well, that's what I was about to say. I was about to say, like, these people overpromise things because they're scared of losing the client and they're losing money. And it's like people focus in on those two things, right? On the clients and the money a lot. And it's like they don't want to lose that. And so they overpromise there and then they can't handle the thing and it's under delivering results. And that does no help for number one, how you're seen by other coaches and how you're seen in this industry. And number two, it doesn't do well for anyone that's that client or anyone associated with that client. Like at all. Like that has a downward effect. I don't think a lot of people estimate it. And I guess we're going down a rabbit hole. So see ya. I think people don't take into account how much caring for the actual in terms of things. So yeah
well, and like something that to go back to the original situation, right, and you having that conversation with your athletes this week, I think it's very important. And I think probably, and maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong, but in the future when you're bringing on new athletes now, that alignment is going to be established off the bat. The expectations are established off the bat because you've learned from a situation, right? And that's the thing. Like we can look at it from a lens of, okay, in this scenario, I lost. But it's cliche as fuck to say, but if you learn, you don't lose. And I'm a very, very, very firm believer in that, whether you're talking about the contest prep aspect where you go back and like for myself, and I know you guys do this too, when you make changes on a plan, you write notes on it and you assess what those changes do. And like at some point you might have an issue with an athlete in a contest prep where they get on stage and they're not where you want them to be. Now you just reverse it and you say, okay, what did I do here that could have changed things? Right. And you've learned, because technically, yeah, that was a loss for you or the athlete, but you learn from it. And this is the very, very similar situation, but totally different situation, right? Something happened. It wasn't a favorable outcome, but we learned from it. And that lesson had you go back and establish framework for how to get you to where you still want to go, right?
Yeah, it gave me, this is where I bring back Dylan's quote, right? It gave me something. It may not have been what I wanted, or it might not have been the favorable outcome that I wanted, but it definitely probably gave me the one thing that I probably needed. And and I think I realize I understand I'm probably a bit naive when it comes down to things, especially in my ways, you know, when I'm riding such a good momentum train with some people and it kind of hits you like that. And, you know, I need to learn along the way that this is probably going to be it's funny because every coach I've had this conversation with now and discussing the situation in the past week has said the same exact things to me, and like each lesson was the exact same. So it's like, okay, there's a repetitive thing here that I'm going to need to get used to. And it's like, you're not going to be able to beat it no matter how hard you try. It's like, you can't please everyone. And it's just like, it's a part of life at that point. So
ride the midline, man, ride the midline.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting because another way of looking at it, instead of losing, is potentially education just costs something. So it either costs you some time and sometimes costs you some money. It might cost you some heartache, but you learned something. Yeah. When you go to university, Anthony, you and Braden went to university. I didn't. They didn't let me in. Wasn't smart enough. So you guys paid to go to university. You know, like you had to pay for that education. And that can happen in form of life lessons too. You know, so like what you said, Anthony, is so true. It's these problems are not going away. In fact, to be honest, they're going to multiply. Mm-hmm. But the thing is your goal is to become a stronger monster. Your problems don't go away. You just get stronger so that the same level of problem no longer disrupts you. You try and increase that, because now if we flip situations, it would still bother me, you know, for sure. But like I've had that thing happen to me like probably 10 times, not exactly the same situation, but like in some form, you know, like I've definitely brought competitors halfway through preps and lost them. It happens all the time, you know? So I'm sure Braden's even dealt with it at some point, you know. And so sometimes, you know, people just get really nervous and they want to, like, they're not sure about their choice, and then they're going to make a change because then they can be sure. So sometimes it's not really even about anything personal. Whoa. It can be just like the nerves building up. Everyone handles their stuff differently, and you have to remember people have their own problems, you know, like a lot, actually, you know, like we all think we're special in our problems, but like all the nonsense that goes through my head or yours goes through a lot of other people's too, just in their own way of looking at the world. And that causes them to just do different things that you might not always see, but there's not some grand plan a lot of the times. Sometimes it's usually pretty simpler than it sometimes.
And I think being prevalent and having the access to information that we have currently and social media also plays a huge role in this, right? Yeah. Because these athletes that we work with see somebody doing something differently, or they see somebody else doing shit quicker or getting results faster, right? And humans in nature like shiny things, right? Like we definitely like new, fascinating. Fuck, man, you see half these glute exercises on Instagram and every girl starts doing them tomorrow. And it's like, that doesn't work, right? And the same thing applies, right? These individuals might see somebody doing something another way and they're like, wow, that guy gets results so quick. Well, they don't know the backstory to that. How much drugs are these athletes using? How hard are these coaches pushing them to the point that they're just not healthy anymore, right? There's so many different things that have an external influence on the decision-making of an individual that, like Dylan said, we don't know what the actual decision was influenced by. Was it even you, or was that a scapegoat for something else?
Representation of the screen of the problem.
100%. And then going back to the root of it, does it really matter?
No,
because you can step back, look at it from a different lens, and just say, okay, let's take an inventory of what happened, where I'm at, where I want to go. How do we get there the most efficient way? Let's put this plan into action.
Yeah. And I think the big thing, you know, I just feel more aligned this week. Like I said, like, and I think that's why I ended up growing like a few clients this week, or what will be a few clients, just because it's like, I think I'm now back on my path.
Well, do you remember what else I told you when we talked later in the week? And I said, well, it might be because you have something to say. You haven't said it. And maybe there's a way you want to say it. And then you came out with a bunch of great pieces of content, you know, and I was kind of sitting there on the sidelines going like, good for you, kid, you know, like right on. You listened, you know, like honestly, and you asked yourself the right questions.
Yeah.
Because that's why they were highly shared, because they were very insightful. And it was, you could tell that was earned through a real life lesson. That wisdom.
Yep.
That's actual wisdom. That's the definition of wisdom. Because anyone who has any inkling of the idea of philosophy, like I read that and I was like, yeah, this is earned through blood, sweat, or tear. You know, like one of the other.
Yeah.
So I just wrote that from my experience, like from what we do.
Yeah.
Right? It's just like, that's like, in all actuality, I seriously wrote that because I've never seen someone actually write about what we do. And I think, and Braden actually said it in his comment on that post where he was like, you know, I never want to get a pat on the back or like whatever, like a thank you from someone. It's just like, it's normal what we do, right? That's just like how we operate.
Yeah.
But it's just like, you know, just based off the situation things, I was just like, you know, I just felt I just put my heart onto a piece of writing and just let it go.
Well, man, and like that specific post we're referring to about what coaches do and stuff, I commented on it because like I was literally driving and I read it. Yes, I was on my phone when I was driving. I apologize. I apologize to anyone who is extremely upset about that. People like shiny things. It was shiny. It attracted my attention. And but no, like in all real, like, and to be completely serious here, what I mentioned was I've literally had people say to me out of spite almost that I don't have a real job. And I don't even entertain it because there was a point where I'd get really offended by that. But at the same time, like who's defining a real job? Who writes the definition for a real job? Just because you turn a wrench for 10 hours a day and some of us sit in front of a computer for 12 to 14, your job's real, mine isn't. You know what I mean? Like where does that even come from? And I think that, again, that goes back.
You just fucking, that's my whole definition of social media right there. Yep. Yep. But you nailed it, Braden. You get a prize today because it's like, who gets to say who's right and wrong? And what
are you actually saying? 100%. There's no rules when it comes to this game. And if somebody thinks they're writing the rules, they're wrong, quite frankly. You know what I mean? Like there's so much that comes into it. And like I specifically have, and I can go back to this every time. And that's why I wrote this comment on your post. I have one individual who said it to me multiple times out of spite in spiteful situations, who was kind of an acquaintance / friend, but it was multiple times thrown at me. And like, it just got to the point where I said to him, I don't really care what you think because I know what I do. You don't understand what I do and you don't have to. That's okay. And if you want to sit there and pretend that I don't have a real job, if that makes you sleep at night, quite frankly, awesome. I'm going to go to bed telling myself, well, maybe you don't have a real job, but you know what? You're helping people. You're accomplishing things that you want to accomplish and you're having fun doing it. Big deal. That's it. You know what I mean? Like I got nothing else to add to that, but that post was, we're going off the deep end now. So
it was one of my most favorite posts I've ever written. I've written a lot of content over the last 2 years. And that was one of my favorite. I realized I do a lot of my journaling on Instagram. Like whenever I get to my thoughts, I think, and then I just write and I just allow that to come out. Like I've shared my darkest moments on Instagram. Like
just God, man, if every time I had my thoughts come into my head and I put them on Instagram, holy moly, I would be sitting on my, I would need 100 hours in a day.
But like I said, I think I'm going to grow the most from this.
I agree.
Cause I think it's a thing of, you know, I look at it and every single time when I've grown the most, it's a lot of things where I didn't want that to happen. And like, I'm just going to keep coming back to it because it's probably what I need it. Right. This week even showed it. So I'm probably in the best possible mindset this week. I took a few days kind of off, like talking with people and doing my usual thing, just talking to very, very close people in my circle. And now I'm back. My shit's recharged. I did a Q&A in person. People got to see the mustache, the anabolic mustache on Instagram in full flight. People were making fun of how small I looked though. So I wasn't purely happy about that one, but
I wasn't purely happy about that one. I like that. You know, Anthony, there is a good lesson here also, because, you know, just thinking of myself, when I had been coaching for a while, maybe like 4 years, and I had done pretty well. I had done well enough to be able to buy into the supplement store business. And when I opened my first store in the city I live in here, I thought that it was going to be like, here, let's open this. Let's do these couple things and do these few things. And then I'm just going to have all these stores and it's going to be sweet. And anyway, 3 years later, I'm finally figuring out how to not almost go backwards, lose everything that I have made or have earned, you know, up until that point, because I'm figured it out. But it took 3 years to really figure it out, to get to a point that I thought was going to happen in like 3 months. And it was a huge wake-up call, and it's not at all what I wanted. But the creature I am now versus 3 years ago is a byproduct of that and some other things. My relationship forced me to get better, my business forced me to get better, and then as I, you know, it happens all the time now, I, because of that, I got the opportunity with Braden, which is forcing me to get better. So it's not always that I get what I want, so you get what you need most of the time.
100%. I think we could probably all name
100%.
100 situations that we've had something similar happen. Like I've told you guys about the when COVID first hit.
Maybe you already said it. Now I'm just laughing again because every time you say this, I just imagine you smoking a cigarette right now, like lighting up. It's so funny to me.
Smoking dubs outside.
Well, man, it's one of those things, right? Like you think I wanted that to happen? No. And you get to a situation where you're just like, what the hell? But
you're smoking cigarettes.
you find your way again.
I've only smoked cigarettes whenever I'm really drunk.
when I used to party and stuff, party darts was always a thing. And like being a hockey player, I chewed a lot of tobacco for a long time. And again, it was just the entire reason that I even picked up a dart when I was in that crazy high stress situation was the fact that my wife had party darts on hand for when she doesn't smoke either, but she would go to a party or go out for drinks or whatever, and somehow she had a pack, and I ended up finding it, and I was like, ah, here's my escape. And yeah, it was the wrong thing, but again, it's one of those things that was a huge lesson for me, right? Because it taught me how to adapt. And it goes back to something Dylan mentioned earlier. If a similar situation arose again, I am way more equipped to keep forward marching past it. Like, I'll tell you right now, there's about a 0% chance that something like that happens again and forces me into a situation where I have a moment of weakness like that, or I get into a position where I feel that I need something else or whatever, right? Like, we don't need to dive too deep into it, but it was at the time scary because I had never dealt with it before. I was fairly new in this realm and whatnot, and it scared the shit out of me. But again, you come back stronger, and every single time that happens, you just become more resilient of a human. And that's fucking dangerous.
Yeah. So I think too, it's not even just like, I know how to handle it if the situation arises. Now I know, after talking with you guys, I know to not even have that situation even arise in the first place.
Now. Yeah. You just come across different problems because now you've kind of solved that one for the future and you remember how to not.
Let me also just clear the air really quickly so all of our listeners don't think I just hacked darts left, right, and center. I do not smoke cigarettes. There's a very, very small temporary period where I got my hands on some and I felt like it was needed. And
that's why it's so funny to just picture you playing Xbox and smoking cigarettes.
Okay, well, no, I would be castrated if I tried to do it in my house. Let me tell you that. The worst part about it was minus 30 outside, and I'd step outside for it.
Those days.
We'll just say this: it was short lived until I got my head screwed on right and realized that, like, hey, man, you want to actually get this done, and you want to continue on the path you started. You need to get your shit together. This is not the time to just pack shit in and be sorry for yourself.
I did that. I allowed myself to do that for a few days, and you guys unfortunately probably took the brunt.
But here's the thing, man. Here's the thing: we're human, right? It's gonna happen. You, as much as you want to say it's never ever going to happen, it very well could to anybody. I mean, you get somebody who's the richest individual in the world that's only ever seen success. What happens when suddenly they don't see success and they lose half their money, right? Like, we don't know. That's unpredictable. You don't plan for those situations. There's no rule book on how to handle them, but you got to be able to pull yourself out of it and identify what's going on and basically reroute, right?
Let the dead wood burn off and stay in the past and keep on trucking, man.
100%.
Forward marching.
Always.
Yeah. You know what's pretty funny, guys? I got a couple new clients this week, as I said, and I've been like rebelling, I guess you could say, in a sense, because I just don't want to be put in any boxes. So, you know, like, I'm like, okay, I'm just going to do my thing then and just like focus in on my clients that I have, and I'm going to chill on social media for a while. It's annoying me to no extent. And I'm going to just get to work. And I've like been upgrading my systems. Man, the result style got turned up a little bit harder. I'm like, okay, this is fun. You know, so it's got me a bunch of positive emotion behind my work again, because it's like, it's, you know, when you ever feel like on your shit, like, you know, I'm doing my check-ins today. Yeah. Fuck, I'm on it, man. Yeah. Like every, you know, you get in a role kind of. And you just like start to, at least me, I start to see a bunch of patterns and things. I'm like, okay, this is trending in the right direction. This is trending in the right direction. And I have a bunch of that right now. And Spada and I have talked about this, and I probably should talk about this with Brayden too, but one of the things that I, you know, was guilty of in the last year and a half is because I came from weight loss knowledge, bodybuilding knowledge, training knowledge, and then like functional health knowledge. let's say. So that was like the etymology of my education over the years. But functional health, a lot of the times, I think they try and scare people in that subsection of the industry, because then they're the only ones that can solve those problems. So it's like, you can't train hard and you have to need all this stuff, and no one else can solve that if you're training too hard. So then, no, you know, the clients kind of drift to them if they have that perceived problem. But lately I've just been kind of like rebelling all these boxes, and I've been getting a lot of good results. Like, it reminded me that like people are not some breakable creature, you know, like things can adapt while being also semi-challenging, you know, like for the better. And of course there's cases that you have to, you know, push appropriately for their health. I have some really severe health cases that are very difficult to work around, but the average of people I've been pushing much harder, even with a few little things. I'm not saying massive things, but you know, where everything isn't perfect and they're enjoying it more, I'm enjoying it more, and the results are coming faster. And I'm like, yeah, okay, that's what I needed. Because I lost a couple clients too in the last couple months where I started to reflect. And even when I have criticizers, you guys, I try and actually ask myself if anything that they're criticizing me, even if it's not framed in the right way, I try and take that criticism and improve it and attack myself with it, sort of. It's like, well, I'm not really guilty of that, actually. But here, let me spin something that I might be actually guilty of. And I try and find something where I could improve, because that's how I think. I'm like an optimization.
You have to.
So one of the critiques of me, I got thinking about this, is that it's like I focus too much on like the small, nuanced, fancy stuff, which I'm guilty of by personality because it's what I'm interested in. But the baby doesn't get thrown out with the bathwater, but it kind of does in social media. Because I can see it, actually, because I got thinking about it. I'm like, okay, well, if I'm just from the outside and I don't know Dylan and I don't never talk to him like in person, never got any of his ideas. And it just looks like I'm telling clients that they're getting jacked from reading psychology quotes and eating organ meat. It's like, well, yeah, I guess, actually. I see how that is misconstrued at a low level of resolution, let's 100%. Say. But it's very poor. It's actually not me. Like, I'm probably the most needs-based coach that I know, to be honest. I probably start people exactly, I think I'm the best at starting someone exactly where I think they are right now and making them a stronger monster. And sometimes that's starting pitifully low, where I'm not telling people that like the number one thing they need to be doing is eating an organ meat or taking a supplement or doing any of that. You know, it might be like, you're literally so incompetent that we need to just work on you eating not nonsense. You know, because I work with a variety of cases. I work with weight loss cases. I work with competitors, you know, and I try to meet people at the expectation of where they're at. But because I've been functional health based the most recently, let's say, I've gotten softer on some of my competitors. Yeah. But at least I got it, you know, like I was like, okay, I'm ahead of this. It hasn't happened. Nothing negative really has happened because I got ahead of this problem. I've identified that if I would just let these people go without being pushed to their maximum capacity, they'll find someone who will do that. And I can totally provide that. So shape up, you know? So when I get criticisms, I try to even use it to improve. I don't like to say like, oh, that person's a moron, especially if there's more than one person saying it, you know? And it's like, I'm not saying you should listen to all your criticizers, but I think it's important to listen to some of them because, like Anthony figured out, most of it might have been nonsense, but there might have been one little part in there that he was like, damn, maybe I was actually doing that. Yeah. And maybe not all the time, but maybe sometimes and maybe for this reason. And then if you identify that, it's like, figure that out. You just became a better creature to me anyway.
Because a lot of things are subconscious.
Correct. It's not like you're acting them out.
So what I didn't know, right, was because of me being naive and young, right? And me like not believing in what that person was saying, right? And me like saying, oh, no, I'm the fucking best, right? Well, I took a fucking backseat the few days ago and I was like, well, that's why I also had the talks with all my clients. I was like, okay, let's see what these talks actually lead to and everything like that. And there was just a subtle pattern that I kind of picked up on and I was like, okay. That's how. That part needs to go. I was like, that part needs to go. I was like, that's it. I was like, there it is. So, you know, I responded to it very negatively within my own right when it first started. But by the end, I got at least a positive out of it. So take that as it is. And now I woke up feeling dangerous. So I'm good.
There you go. You're a predator, man. Predator. Yeah,
dude, I honestly, like I said, I'm so in tune with things now. It's just like you said, Dylan, like you get on such a roll, like the other, like yesterday. So I always have, I actually like to split my things because this is how I like to do, just how I like to do things. I like to do my more so my bodybuilding and like regular clients that don't have too many health problems on like my Saturday. And I like to have a few that are regular, but I'm dealing with more complex cases on my Sundays because I like to get into that role because that Saturday I'm like rolling with those people. And then I carry that momentum straight into it. Like if I didn't carry the momentum, I wouldn't have had that talk with Dylan this morning. And I would have been like brain, like emptied. Like I wouldn't have known anything. Right. So it's like getting on that role is so important, I find, for us coaches. And when you're on that role, I feel like that's when things start to really click and everything. And like I said, everything, and I said to you guys, everything is starting to click now with everyone on my team. It's mindset, training, nutrition, results. Everything is like firing on all cylinders right now. So I'm like, all right. I'm like,
yeah, it's just got me hungry for results.
Man, you know what?
Our roster,
you know what I think largely, very, very largely contributes to those roles that are being discussed here too. And like you pick up some momentum and all of a sudden you're steamrolling. It's like, wow, this was an unbelievable week. And then you follow it up with another really good week. It all comes back to confidence, man. You know what I mean? Like you make a decision and that you're confident in whether it's the right thing that everyone says that you should do, or you just know that this is the right decision to make. And you just see it come to fruition over and over and you get more confident. And then you maybe make another decision similar to that. And it just builds up. And like, of course there's going to be things that might knock you back, but letting them knock you back is a choice. And that's quite frankly, the way I look at it. And it's like, I mean, we're all educated, right? Like, I don't know. I could go back to this. I could spin this back to the conversations we had earlier this week and then so forth, and going back to like Instagram posts and people just posting things to fit in with the current trends and stuff. Right. It's like that stuff doesn't actually solve problems.
No, I mean, I'm done with it. I'm done. It's out.
Right before this call, I told you guys that I was doing some research and reading articles for past couple hours. And that's something I like to do on my Sundays when I have a little bit of free time, because I mean, increasing our education is always very important, but I could probably name a lot of people that would read what I have read here and copy and paste it, change it to their wording, throw it on an Instagram post. And now they know all this subject. And it's like, you just read about that for your first time 5 minutes ago. And now you have people that are praising you on Instagram. And it's like, what happens when that comes to actual application?
One of my favorite movie scenes of all time is, you guys seen Good Will Hunting?
Oh yeah.
Remember when they're in the bar and the guy starts spewing things from the book and he starts to spew them back to them. And he's like, yeah, like that's where I feel like we're heading towards as an industry.
100%.
A lot of the industry is heading towards a thing where people are spewing things from certain other mentors or things like that. And it's just coming back. And it just like, it's going to come back, but I don't want to talk about that because I don't want to bring that about for.
No, today. I don't want to talk.
But you are right. But I mean, Dylan, I will designate you as the liver king. You are the actual liver king. I will put you in that boat just because.
Hey, you want to know what's pretty interesting about this actually? So I don't know why you brought that up at this time, but I was actually talking to Paul Saladino today, and you know, there's a lot to it, you know, and his stance, it's funny because I called him out because I knew him for about the last 3 years and I kind of paid him for a consult then to maybe potentially, I was thinking about like, how would I set up a nose to tail carnivore diet? Because I can't not have carbohydrates in bodybuilding. It's just not going to work. Right. So like, how would I, you know what I mean? And I just wanted to, and I was interested in his ideas. So we to talk. And the ideas that I had are now what he preaches as a diet. And I'm like, what the hell's going on here? So I was talking to him and he was like, yeah, man, I just, after a couple of years of eating like carnivore, I added in, you know, honey, and then I added in fruit, and then I added in, you know, some like whole dairies and cheeses, and eggs and a whole bunch of stuff back in. Now he says he feels better and his testosterone's better and, you know, his training, his jiu-jitsu is better. Everything he does is better. So that's kind of like, I'm not like the Liver King guy. I'm like the eat, you know, like if someone saw what I actually recommend, it's like, no, this is like a lot of food. It's not like one food. There's lots of foods. They're just different than what's recommended. It's not all coming from like processed stuff.
You know? I was just going to say, it's just quite frankly, making smart food choices with whole fucking foods that we're supposed to eat. Like that is literally.
I'm on the team that I think we preach a little bit too much about vegetables. I think they're way less. I think they're.
I agree.
This is so funny because
before you hopped on the call pre-podcast, I was literally talking to Anthony about this, and it's like one of those things where, like, I asked him if he eats much vegetables. He told me what his meal he was having, and like I had a little bit of spinach in mind, and like personally, I also agree. I think a lot of the time vegetables are culprits of gut issues. Like they can create a lot of gut issues. I mean, I think they're important for micronutrients, but if you can get those micronutrients from elsewhere and you can get your fiber from elsewhere, I mean, I'm not going to say vegetables are unhealthy in any realm, but
me neither. And that's not what I was trying to.
Are they really absolutely necessary for a healthy diet? No, you can.
I wanted to expound on the way that I think about this. Cause to me, it's like, okay, well, we want the most bioavailable amino acids. I have a supplement store that sells things. It has the most bioavailable amino acids that we can like produce in something that tastes good, which is like a whey protein isolate. I sell a lot of that. Okay. So it's that's a valuable idea. We also preach that we should eat vegetables for all of our micronutrients. And then on this other team, we also preach that we should be better with the environment and not waste so many animals and blah, blah, blah. And then on all these teams, and I'm like, okay, so here's the products that solve that problem the best. And then I present that and it's like, oh, not that though. Well, what do you mean not that? Why not that? You know, like, yeah. I don't get it. Why it's weird.
It's actually really funny. So ever since I took greens out of my diet, whether that's even greens powder or whether that's just regular greens, my digestion has been the best it's ever been. I just eat a ton of fucking berries. I just eat a lot of berries and an apple every day. I'm just like, okay, I usually have like 4 or 5 servings of fruit every single day. I'm like, my digestion's been now. Do I supplement with things? Do I use glutamine, zinc, carnosine? Absolutely. Just because I want to, I'm on the very thing of, I have the money to spend on these supplements. I may as well just do something that's going to aid me a little bit. And it's not going to do, it doesn't have any negative backlash if I take it for extended periods of time. So it's
both those things too.
They're fucking.
But like, I think there's just, it's funny. So going back to this point, you'll have people in one camp who say, well, why would you cut out vegetables? Because you need your vitamin A from this, your vitamin C from this. But then those same people are putting in, I don't know, something like aloe vera, for instance, we'll say, into a protocol because they want to improve gut health or something. Well, what the fuck's in aloe vera? You have vitamin A, you have vitamin K. I think there's vitamin E in it. I can't name every vitamin off the top of my head, but like a lot of these things you're already putting in this plan, check a lot of the boxes. And sure, they might be very, very more concentrated in a certain thing. But when you have 12 things that have a decent amount, you're getting a concentrated amount anyways. And then beyond that, if you need more, interesting, you could actually get a liposomal vitamin C to add. Wow. Right? Like there's so many different ways to go. And again, I don't want to be the guy just shitting on vegetables.
Can I go back to something?
Yeah.
I want to say, we had a conversation this week, and I want to point out how much we still need to learn as coaches. We looked at blood work. All three of us looked at blood work. All three of us noticed the same exact thing, and none of us knew how to solve it.
Yeah.
That was the first time I've had a discussion with more than one coach where we all didn't know how to actually solve a specific problem that we saw on a CBC. And we were like, this is going to be a really good.
That's an extremely, extremely rare scenario though. Like that was mind blowing. And I was, I was actually pissed off on
so my I have head. A new theory. I have a new theory on this, actually. A hypothesis is all it is. And I think that potentially, because she had the past that she had that I told you guys about.
Yeah.
Along with, let's just say, I don't want to share any details, but her life is still very, it requires a lot of her managing it. And she doesn't do, it's not her old life at all, but it's still got a lot of moving pieces to it. And she's just kind of going through menopause and also is double vaccinated and boosted.
Oh, and we just got booted off of, we just got no booted off of Apple and Spotify.
No, we didn't. And I'm not, there's nothing negative. I'm just saying I have a correlation to having a little bit higher of those markers and for extended periods of time. And I'm like, So anyway, I told her a little bit of a game plan on what I want to see. And then we're going to pull them again in 8 weeks. I want
to
see
the amount of times I have been able to look at blood work and put my finger on why something was wrong because of the thing that was just mentioned.
Yeah.
Is incredible. Uh-huh. And it's, we'll leave that there. But people don't truly understand it.
Oh, we don't amount of times I'm getting this.
No. I mean like the effect that it's having. I don't understand. I'm not even going to pretend. Everybody's a virologist since 2019 these days, or 2020. everybody is. They know everything about this thing.
I'm not going to say anything, but based upon every single piece of blood work that I've seen in majority of people since that whole thing has come down, I've seen every single person's immune system downregulated.
Oh, and inflammation through the roof.
And those are the two hardest things to freaking deal with.
And actually, Mark and I had a really interesting conversation about this, your coach, Mark. We were talking one day about this exact same thing, and I was mind blown at some of the numbers that I've seen come through. Like, mind blown when we're talking like CRP.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is really, really fucked up. Like, this is scary fucked up. And I was talking to him about it, and I said that. He's like, dude, that's it? He showed me something that he saw, a little screenshot. I almost fell out of my chair, dude. And I was like, oh, well, this is, you know, I already know, like, I can fix this one. And I probably could fix that one, too. But I don't want to fix that one. That one sucks. That one sucks really bad. Like, that's not fun at all.
That away from me.
And it's just, it almost puts it into perspective, right? And it's a prime example is, like, we might think our problems are bad. There's a lot worse problems elsewhere.
And there's a lot of problems that none of us are equipped to solve.
100%. Because,
and I'm okay with that. I don't want to, you know, I'm fine with playing in the fields that I know how to, but I also want to be allowed to play on the ones that I think I'm allowed to play in. Like, I do have a pretty good self-regulation system. I don't want to go and play on fields where I have no business because I don't want to look like a fool.
No, you know, I want to run the playgrounds that I know how to fucking play on.
Yeah, me too. You know, I have no interest in going where I don't know how to play and being exposed.
I mean, if your playground's beside mine and I see a pair of monkey bars that I might want to fucking
swing on. I'm fucking you up, Raiden.
I might jump off my slide and head over your monkey bars and see that I can fucking hang there.
Raiden, Raiden.
We talk about throwing darts all the time. I might just fucking throw a dart and I might be hanging from your monkey bars.
Raiden, realize I am... 20, I am 20, but 20, how many pounds lighter am I? You like 28 pounds lighter than you right now. You ain't getting on my monkey. I'm out hanging you on my monkey bars. You ain't, you ain't touching, you ain't outlasting me, boy. No. Mm-mm. As I said, I woke up feeling dangerous.
Broke my knuckles many, many times.
Just hang on until they snap off.
All of a sudden, his hands are gonna start slipping. He's gonna just like flip and hang from his legs. He's like, "Yeah, gotcha." He's like, "Gotcha, bitch."
Hey, Anthony, have you ever eaten raw liver before?
No. And I said Raiden, the first time will
you,
be.
Have you ever eaten raw liver before?
No, but I'm fucking coming to that playground. I guarantee it.
Okay. So here's why I need sensible people. So because everyone that I get to try and do this, or that asks me about it, I tell them how I think they should do it. They don't stop after, and nobody likes it. You know what I mean? Like in ideology, nobody likes it.
I'll tell you. I'll type in right here. And like, I have zero fear of doing it. I'll tell you why I haven't done it yet. I'll tell you exactly why. Because I was going to do it very recently.
Oh.
The only reason I didn't do it was because I now passed my nutrition off and I'm fucking OCD as fuck. And I would not be okay with, even though I know it's minimal. Like, I know I'm talking 20 grams three times a week or 30 grams three or four times a week. Like, it's minimal. The caloric intake is minimal. I just can't bring myself to do it. But I'll tell you this much. I promise you, you have my word. Buddy, I'll eat fucking raw heart. I don't care.
Buddy, boss, I'll do it. Yo, whenever I come visit you, we'll literally do a live podcast. We'll like get a videographer to film us while we're doing a podcast. I'll buy like three mics we can put on us.
And it'll
we'll
feel like,
you know, I'll say this straight up and you guys can hold me to this. I'll just say it straight up. Dylan, you can hold on to a full chunk of liver. Don't even cut that shit in cubes and freeze it. Don't even do that. Hold on to the end of it, and I'll just take a big chomp out of that fucking liver.
Won't. No, you won't. No, I'm putting money on that one. No. Nope.
How much you want to bet?
I don't have that much money. I'm kind of broke, so I'll take like eight. I'll take like 10 clients of yours.
I've done some really wild shit before, man. I'm telling you. That would be the lowest level of wild shit I've done.
You hacked darts in negative 30 degrees.
I'm gonna go crazy with this one. I'm gonna stop myself there, but yeah, I would do a lot of shit before I ever did that again.
But all I could say is that I'm on such a roll. I'm on such a roll this week. You guys are on such a roll this week. We're coming. We're dangerous. I told you. As much, I'm going to keep using that Baker Mayfield quote because I fucking love it. I woke up feeling dangerous. And I mean, I'm going to carry the momentum from this weekend and fucking just keep bringing it because I'm not stopping now.
I actually forgot to mention one thing when we were talking about our weeks. One of the new athletes that I got, she's actually extremely young, very young. And she has aspirations to be a pro bikini competitor. And it's pretty wild because her structure is pretty crazy already. And I'm super, super excited for it. But it's one of those things that's like, it's new to me. I've never worked with, like, I'll just say it. She's 16 years old.
Right? Oh, I have experience. If you need questions, let me know.
Well, I mean, it's not for me. It's human physiology, right? Like, she's young. Yes. She's going through stuff that everyone goes through or whatever. It's just on my end, obviously there's things you have to keep in mind. Like, I told her straight up, you are not doing a bodybuilding prep anytime soon. Like, you're not doing it at 16 years old, first of all. But it's one of those things, just I was super excited for because it's new for me. I literally have never coached a younger individual like that. Now, I know for sure I'm equipped to do it, but it's just going to be a cool new experience and be able to go through it and guide her. It's I'm really excited for that one.
Awesome. Well, I think
you've had young athletes, haven't you?
I've worked with 16-year-olds. Worked cool. with a few of them actually. Yeah, cool. Be very careful working with the very young guys. I worked with young guys though. Never worked with young girl. Young guy though. Gotta be careful.
Well, her and I had an hour and a half conversation, and that's another thing that blew my mind, man. She was so incredibly mature. Like, I look at myself as a 15 or 16 year old and I'm like, whoa, I could have never had a conversation like that with somebody. But it's I'm excited for it.
It's a cool, fun experience, man. You know why? So I work with a lot of, so this will be my last point before we hit off. I work with a lot of young people, and that's probably just because I'm young. I have a few older women, right? I worked with people in their 30s too. But I mean, a lot of my guys are 20 to 20 through 25. I even had 16-year-olds for a brief period of time to 18-year-olds. I worked with kids going into college, things like that. And it's actually a real big pleasure, no matter how much time you get to work with them, because that you do, they're so young. Anything that you do and teach them is going to, especially if they're into bodybuilding and into fitness, it's going to pay off no matter what, whether it's.
Dude, that's why I brought this up. And that's one of the cool, that's what got me so excited about this. I'm like, I look at this young lady and she is super, super, she's super motivated. She wants to learn. And I'm like, I have in my hand the ability to teach somebody to do something the right way from square one, and know that if I guide her properly, no matter how long she stays with me, for the rest of her journey, she's going to have that information that I provide her. And if somebody tries to give her something along the way, if we're not together 3 years from now or whatever, and somebody tries to put something on her lap that I've been able to teach her is quote unquote wrong or not the way things ideally should be done from a health aspect, et cetera, she's going to have that pattern recognition and the memory to realize, wow, I was told at some point that this isn't the right way. And then she has a decision to make, right? And that's one of the coolest things for me about this whole thing that I'm so excited for, because like we're starting, she, like I said, she already has a good physique. She already trains. Everything's kind of there in that sense. But our phone call kind of was reassuring to me that she's still very young. She hasn't learned a lot of stuff. She's never had a coach to teach her the right way. And you teach somebody who's a hard worker and passionate at 16 years old the right way to do things, the potential is crazy. So it's like you said, I've worked with people from 18 years old through 75 and everywhere in between. I feel like, and there's obviously walks of life I haven't worked and health cases I haven't worked with, but like from a general standpoint, I've worked with a crazy amount of variance amongst individuals. And this is one I haven't. Now I have the opportunity to, so I'm just really excited about that. But you were going to say something?
Yeah, that was real fun. That's you're right. I'll give her a shout out. One of my clients that I've been working with since she was 16, she's now 23. So yeah. It's real cool. And I've watched her go from a girl to a woman, and you know, she's got a real good boyfriend and they have a nice thing going, and you know, he's a real good guy. He's got his own business. And, you know, I feel like I've gotten to be there through these kind of changing moments and, like, you know, getting to have a conversation about, like, her educationary goals and work goals. And, you know, we do some calls sometimes, and she's had a hell of a transformation in her physique. And we've gone through Hashimoto's and H. pylori together, you know. So, like, we've really, it's been something, you know, over 5 years. It's been real, real fun.
Yeah, and, that's what it just makes, that stuff excites me so much, man, because I'm just like, that's just it. Like, I have other athletes that I've worked for or worked with for 4 to 5 years, and it's like, okay, well, but like, they started with me, they were 25 to 29. How much did I change from 25 to 29? Quite a bit in terms of the knowledge that I carry and stuff like that, but just like, I feel like there's a whole lot more of change that happens between 16 and 25 or 16 and 20 even than what happens from 25 to 29. You know what I mean? And I've been given an opportunity here. I can have a really cool influence on this. And quite frankly, like, if I can work with her until the time maybe she is a pro and she's 21 or 23 or 25, sweet. You know what I mean? And that's just one of those things that it's really cool. So
yeah. The one guy I shared to you guys, who I shared with yesterday, he started me. He's started me at like 19 or something, and he's going into the work. And he went right into like the workforce, like working for a union and everything like that. And he's got a, and it's pretty cool to see him like talk about his job, and talk about how he got the apprenticeship that he wanted to get. He got all these things. Like, seeing those things from younger people is awesome, because not only are they passionate about the one thing that we're passionate about, they're passionate about something else.
Yeah.
It's always great to have multiple passions down to it. Like, we like coaching and we like bodybuilding. They like their job and they like bodybuilding. It's going to, so being able to like be a part of that, like anyone that's under a certain age, like under like college age, I really like to have as a client, because I like to have that little influence. Because,
well, man, like that's what's a really cool thing about our job is we build relationships to the point people really trust us with valuable information, we'll say, right? And like, Dylan and I had a conversation with one of the coaches on our team here just last week after our team call, and we were talking about how like we've been through stuff with some of our athletes where we may have been a help in them leaving a job that wasn't giving them satisfaction, or leaving a relationship that was holding them back. Right. And like, that's not our, I don't do this job to talk people out of, or talk people into breaking up with their significant others because they're holding them back. That's not what I do. It's not literally what I ever reach for, but sometimes conversations lead to another. And all of a sudden this thing snowballs into a position where you've had such a profound influence on an individual that they've made a life decision that positively impacts them in such a huge way. And then you just see the growth from that. And like, that is so flipping cool. That gentleman you're talking about, though, if he listens to this podcast, that kid's got some potential, man. His between his structure and what he has going for him, he looks pretty. Actually, while you were literally talking about him, because I have our chat open here, I just scrolled up a little bit to look at it again. Like, man, you take that and you run with that. Oh, man. So whatever he's doing, whatever you guys are doing, keep running with it, because that kid looks great. And he could be, if he steps on stage or something one day, he could be a weapon.
Dude, he fucking loves it. That's the best part, man. He loves how hard I push him. He loves that aspect to it. He loves every single time. Like, he sends me a video. He's so amped every single week. Like, when you get those people, you guys know when you get those people, it's like fucking. But then again, it's the same thing that Braden said. I have a woman in her 30s who was on night shift nursing. And I got her blood work done. And I was like, hey, this is a result of you doing night shift. You're feeling like shit because you're doing night shift. And automatically it hit her and it made her recognize that that was what was one of the main drivers of her things. Within a few months after starting with me, she switched to day, completely changed her physique.
Yeah,
her name's Nina. I'll just shout her out because she's been fucking awesome. She got five cycles in a row. Like, everything ever since got off her birth control it's just been awesome. And she's finally starting to understand the training, and she's so addicted now to the training. And I'm like, fuck yes. I was like we're doing, like, when Dylan told me about, like, there's always kind of like a fuck yes moment. Like, don't, like, when Dylan nails something, he's always like, fuck yes. And I was just like, and once she said, like, man, I'm really starting to understand this training, like this week in her check-in, I was like, yes. I was like, this is what I'm fucking talking about. I was like, let's fucking just ride this. I was like, whatever we're on, whatever train we've been on for the past few months, let's just fucking continue it and just keep going.
Well, it's, yeah, I'll leave that there. We can keep rolling with it, but
awesome.
Well, I don't know, and like, I guess going with that too, right? I guess we're on the topic right now. It's also kind of a gray area, because, like, I mean, people also have to make a living, right? Like, I have a handful of athletes, or a ton of my athletes work shift work, and obviously, I have a lot of athletes who live up in like Fort McMurray, and they work on the rigs, or they work for a refinery, and their night shift, day shift. And like, I can't tell somebody that they have to stop that, because you're making 150K a year, your lifestyle needs that. Like, you know what? You are going to have to do that. But if week after week we have conversations and we know that sleep is a bottleneck for your progress, and I've outlined this enough that you come to the realization and you say to me, hey, do you think it would be valuable if I could find another gig somewhere that was the same job I do, but day shifts only? I'm never going to sit there and take the opportunity to say, no, don't do that. I'm licking my chops and saying, yes, do that now. A, because your results will be better. But B, we also look long-term at athletes' health, right? And we know the implications that shift work can have on long-term health and so forth. And it is huge. It's very huge. But again, that's not our position to tell people what they shouldn't do, because quite frankly, at the end of the day, there's also a realization that somebody has to do it. You know what I mean? Like, somebody somewhere has to work night shift, and it might just be the people are on our rosters. And if that's a situation, we better be a good enough coach to manage things in a way that we can still get the results we're shooting for.
Bingo.
Awesome. Well, I think that includes it. That's like been like an hour and a half.
Yeah, that's
we started out with a whole like really serious talk. Now we're on to coaching.
I got a question for you guys.
Oh boy, here we go.
What was our topic today? I think we actually talked about 50 different things.
You know, I guess our main lesson. You know what? This is why we call these episodes the Fat Boy episodes, so we don't have a topic. All right. It's the one episode where we don't have, but I mean, I guess our main lesson, right, is you're not always going to get what you want. You get what you need.
And there you go. Yeah. Yeah.
Happy wife.
And
happy
when
wife.
when you ask us to shoot from the hip and just start talking, well, you better know that we got banana clips hanging off our back. We got hairpin triggers.
Yeah, it's just never
we're
ending.
We're just gonna start unloading the Gatling until it just
until it just empties, and now we finally have emptied. But in all reality, guys, we will be doing a Q&A next week. So be on the lookout for our boxes on Instagram this week. We'll put those up. We answer any good questions that we have. We don't really have a specific topic. I know last time, I think we did. Did we do a specific topic last time? No, we didn't. We did
the topic for our actual nutrition.
Okay. We'll also put that out. That will also come out probably pretty soon too. So we could start to nail a topic for you guys. So if you guys want to give us a good topic to discuss, we will gladly do it. Other than that, I mean, episode 200 dropped this week too, as well. That was a pretty big momentum. It was pretty, just to say, I just want to say,
congrats to you, man. That's a huge milestone.
It was pretty cool. It was pretty cool because my memory popped up yesterday of me hitting 3,000 downloads, like 25 episodes in, and now 175 episodes later, I'm at 35,000.
You've been doing this podcast for how long? 2 years, you said?
Just over 2.5 years now.
You think we can double your downloads in 6 months?
I don't know. We average around 200 per episode. So we're doubling the monthly.
I asked you a question. Do you think we can double your downloads in 6 months?
Yes. Yes, we can.
Because I do.
I think, yeah, we can.
But we need you guys. We need you guys who are listening.
We need the people listening.
We need you guys to share this.
I don't know. Everyone keeps. I have a gripe. I have one gripe. Everyone keeps sharing my podcast, and everyone only tags Brayden, and I feel really disrespected when only tag Brayden. I'm like, where are Dylan and I? I'm like, where are we being tagged?
How about this? If that happens, I will make sure to tag you both in the repost. Okay. Don't come at me with this shit.
I'm coming at the people.
Okay, good.
I'm coming at the people. So one time I'll be real with the people. This it says the Ace of Spades podcast. You think they're gonna tag like it's okay, they're gonna stop listening to us now because I called them out.
That was funny.
But if you guys, but in all actuality, guys, you guys have been huge supporters. I know I said at the last episode that we recorded, but it's been awesome doing this for this long and to have a crew now like these guys on board doing this and how much fun we have doing this. We really enjoy it. So like we said, we just want to keep giving value to you guys. So,
man, I was super pumped, actually. I got a new athlete last week, and him and his girlfriend both listened to our Nutrition and Timing episode already, and they were posting about it. And I'm like, wow, I met you last week. So
fucking love it. That's fucking right. But if you guys did enjoy this episode, as always, tag Brayden, Dylan, and I on your Instagram story and show that you guys are listening. Share it out with friends. Definitely. Maybe not. I mean, these episodes are fucking awesome. We enjoy these ones because we just talk about whatever. But we will be. We just talk about random stuff. But next week's Q&A, and then after that we do another educational episode, and we're just going to keep rolling like that for a while. Keep giving you guys value, at least 2 episodes out of the 3. The other one's just what can you learn from us mentality type, I guess, wise. But if you guys enjoy it, also you guys can support the podcast by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on both Apple and Spotify. That also helps a lot with us. This week's guest will be Aram, 4 weeks to the beach. He's a pretty cool page. We're just going to be talking about some just basic nutrition and fitness topics that we have lined up. So I got some cool guests coming on in the next few weeks. Jason Colley will also be coming on next week. So that will be pretty cool to discuss biomechanics, more training systems, etc. So, you know, I'm going to keep trying to get some good guests on. I'm going to keep trying to just pump out content. And we're going to keep doing us because you guys seem to love it. So, we appreciate you guys listening to us on Monday. Hopefully, if you're listening to it, the first thing.
Sundays are for the boys.
Sundays are for the fat boys. Sundays are for the fat boys. And then, yeah. But thank you guys so much. And thank you for listening to this episode of the Ace Spitter podcast.